Good day. Our scripture reading for today is from John 16 and Acts 1. I didn't tell you this earlier because I was with you every day. But now I'm on my way to the one who sent me. Not one of you has asked, "Where are you going?" Instead, the longer I've talked, the sadder you've become. So let me say it again, this truth. It's better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the friend won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. As they met and ate meals together, he told them that they were on no account to leave Jerusalem, but must wait for what the Father promised. The promise you heard from me. John baptized in water. You will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And soon. Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The ascension followed in the life of Jesus. When he left his followers 40 days after the resurrection and returned to his Father in heaven. Why now? The disciples could think as he disappeared from them and they were left with his commission to go out into the world to spread the gospel. How could they do it without him? His ascension is a loss to them. He's gone. We are losing him again. What does life look like now without Jesus? When Jesus prepared to leave this earth, he had to keep repeating the words, "It is better for you that I go away. You will be sad, but your sadness will turn into joy. If I do not go away, you will not be able to receive my spirit. Don't hold on to me. I have to go. Go to Jerusalem and wait." So three things that stand out for me in the words of Jesus. One, it's better for you that I leave. Let go. What happens to you when you hear the words, "You have to let go"? It's not easy, especially if you love it or love someone, maybe depend on it, or perhaps think you have a lot to lose by doing it. People generally struggle to let go, especially of the familiar. Any parent with grown children has heard similar words from their children, perhaps unspoken, but there nonetheless. When young people leave home to go to university or to start life on their own, get married, perhaps explore opportunities overseas, the words echo, "Let go." What they actually say to their parents is, "Mom and Dad, I'd better go. You'll be sad now, but your sadness will turn into joy. If I don't go, I'll always be your little boy or girl, and I won't be able to give you my adult life. So please, don't hold on to the child you once had, or you will never be able to receive my maturity or adulthood. I have to leave now so that our love can come to full bloom." I did a recent wedding where the groom's father made a very nice speech, very funny, until he said, "I'm going to miss him in our house. His footsteps, the fridge door opening and closing again. The good night, Dad." Just a few months earlier, the father's daughter got married. So two children that left the house in 4 months' time. It's not easy to let go. But he closes off. I know life is just beginning for them. And I'm excited with them about the new chapter in their lives. As Jesus said to Mary Magdalene that day beside the empty tomb, don't hold on to me, Mary. Not as I was. Not as you knew me. I have so much joy and life to share with you now. A new and deeper relationship. The gift of my own spirit living in you as my home. Let go and trust the grace of this moment. For Mary, it was her idea of Jesus. I don't want to let this Jesus go. The one I can feel and see and touch. But Jesus says, let this Jesus go, Mary, for a greater reality and presence of mine is coming to you. What is it to you today? Maybe also an idea about who Jesus is and does or has done in your life. Or maybe just in your frame of reference of him. What is it that you are invited to let go? And an experience or moment that I hold on to. Maybe it is the first time you met Jesus. That first time, you can't let that first time go because of its significance, its beauty. What is more of Jesus' presence waiting for you if you let go of some parts of ideas of him? Maybe letting go of that Jesus you knew for such a long time. The disciples' part is, but you cannot go now. Here is a new kingdom that must be built. You must rule here. No, there's something bigger coming. Let me go. Let the idea of me ruling here go. And then the second part of Jesus' words, wait for what the Father promised. What happens to you when you hear you have to wait? Many of us have negative associations with waiting. Think of a service provider for a moment. You call the helpline just to listen to a tune for 10 minutes. Then you get through. The person on the other side end or the other end can't hear you and ask you 3 times to hold on. So you go back to the tune playing on repeat. Then they come back to you. And just before the breakthrough, you get cut off. So you have to go through the process again. Waiting has a very negative association in our lives. Go to Jerusalem and wait. For what? How long? What will happen? Whatever we expect cannot be the same. We had Jesus in person. This waiting must have brought possible frustration and discouragement to them. Because most of the time it happens with waiting. For 6 years, me and Chanel prayed and did everything we could possibly do just to have a baby. It was a very frustrating time, emotionally, mentally, physically exhausting. There was times, maybe a week, that we didn't even talk to each other. We didn't know what to say. But I remember the day we received the news that Chanel was pregnant with our first child. It was the best news ever. The new chapter in our life had arrived after a long waiting period. And then the realization we were going to wait another 9 months. And then to prolong the wait, Mika only arrived at 41 and a half weeks. But on that day when Mika came into this world, all the waiting was forgotten and worth every minute's waiting. They say the best things in life comes with waiting. What or where is it for you? Where are you invited to wait in the present? You may be sitting with similar frustration and discouragement about this wait, but the invitation to wait comes with a gift. Can you accept? Can you embrace this wait? Eugene Peterson says, one aspect of world that I've been able to identify as harmful to Christians is the assumption that anything worthwhile can be acquired at once. We assume that if something can be done at all, it can be done quickly and efficiently. Our attention spans have been conditioned by 30-second commercials. Our sense of reality has been flattened by 30-page abridgments. The invitation is to wait. And the third thing Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness. Receive. Let go. Wait and receive. For 3 years, Jesus prepares them for this. You cannot receive the new if you hold on to the old. Perhaps the invitation of Jesus to them, let go of the limited part of me. The part that can only be with one or two or some of you at once. To an omnipresent presence of my Spirit in each of you forever. In John 14, Jesus says, in that day when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you will know that I'm in my Father, the Father in me, and I'm in you. I'm your address. He is a greater part of me at your disposal. Receive this gift. So I wonder, what is the greatest way to receive this gift? By giving it. You will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you to be my witnesses. I give you the gift so that you can give it to the world. I just think about a mission trip. If people go on a mission trip, it's to give something to a lost world. We are on an outreach to you to make your life better. But most of the time when those people come back and you ask them, how was this mission trip? They'll say, I received much more than I gave. Something happened in me when I reached out to others. The greatest way to receive in this life, in all aspects of life, is by giving. It is said, the people who give the most have the most left. What is that you have to share? What is your good news? That spiritual experience you had, or conversations, the gifts you have received, what is it? How can you give it? What does this gift of presence mean to you? How can you share it with a lost world? Why is this ascension important to me? It invites me to let go of ideas, perceptions, past, and baggage that I carry with me about how Jesus really looks and works in my life. Also invites me to wait patiently for the new things that God wants to do in my life, the fresh things that the Lord wants to give me, an awareness of more. also invites me to receive the gift of the Lord himself who lives in me and through his power enables me to be true witness for him. Is this invitation for you too? I'll leave you with that. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, as I remember your ascension, please give me a clear conviction of your presence and invitations coming to me. Direct my thoughts and make me wise to see the things through the lens of your will. In the name of Jesus, amen. Receive the blessing. May the love of our Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.